If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm from Birmingham.
What is that?
I'm in Birmingham, so that's all that I'm around all the time. All it is, like, Tommy, man, how you doing?
Tommy.
I get a lot of that. When people are stopping me, I get stopped more in Birmingham than I do in London.
Really?
Way more.
I think you're bigger in the bins.
Sorry?
I think you're bigger.
I'm bigger in the bins.
Yeah.
Is that? And you think Birmingham's more of a bin?
Yeah,
than London, for sure.
Yeah.
What, you mean the brown... I'm going by now, the brown to non-brown ratio in Birmingham.
Density. Yeah.
There's more of them up there, for sure.
Yeah. Density sounds like a place that, you know, your parents tell you about. Not now city, then city.
Yeah.
It was a different time. Very different. But no, oh yeah, you're right.
It's like when I go Ealing Road, it's the equivalent of that.
Like you, what's it like with you and the auntie?
Paparazzi, I can't, you know, there's road blockage, you know, the cows all come out, line up for Kedge.
You say every week, no one recognises you, bruv.
No, that's what I mean, but Ealing Road, I got recognised twice, so, you know, it's a dangerous...
Didn't one person try to run you over or something?
No, they didn't run me over.
Okay.
Yeah. They were having a parking situation, I was just watching the fight as it unfolded.
Oh, as always, spectator Kedge. I'm up in Birmingham, so we've these kids are broken up for school, and see the in-laws, we're up here, and also I've had a few shows up this way, so apologies, we are online, but actually I like this little, we've got like the screen that I'm looking at for the first time. I think this is the first time we've done it like this.
No.
It reminds me of Dallas, you know, the three, you know, when the screen split at the start of Dallas.
Was it Dallas or Dynasty? I think it might have been both. I think because that was how American programs all were, wasn't it? They split, like, you even had that, like, in the A-Team, Knight Rider.
Yeah, like introducing the characters.
Yeah.
And it's like, so the screen is right now in thirds, in columns.
Right.
And it's nicely, neatly done. Like, starring Sachin, and he's sliding Kedgel, like Brady Bunch, a bit like the boxes. It feels like that right now. But no, how are you? Oh, by the way, everybody happy? Nice and cold. I've got a jumper on. I'm actually freezing. Hope
cold?
You're happy.
It's raining right now.
It ain't cold.
It's not cold.
No, Tommy, it's not cold.
It's not cold,
Tommy.
It's not cold. Come on.
No, it is. My hands are cold right now. They're underneath my thighs.
And you're not in Birmingham.
You're in Birmingham, yeah.
I'm going to dedicate this weather to all the miserable shits out there that kept going around going, oh, too hot, isn't it? Too hot, isn't it? Too hot. I hope you're happy now. There you go. That was summer.
That's Satch.
What do you mean?
Satch, you were Moldy Pants.
No, I never said I have. Now, go back and listen to the last few podcasts, Kidge. I've been enjoying the weather. It's been great. The only time where it needs to switch off a bit is at night when I'm trying to sleep. That's all I've said. That's all. I like it. I love it in the daytime. It's brilliant.
And that's what's wrong with your younger generation. Because maybe Satch is a younger generation now, Kedge. Maybe that's what we're realising.
What do you mean?
If you think you can switch off the weather at night, you privileged little shit.
Just turn it off.
Ungrateful.
Just turn it off.
That's not how life works. Life doesn't work around you. See, I feel like I'm telling you the same stuff I told Milo and Logan. Like, that. Don't just expect, oh, but I need the weather to turn off. Who do you think you are? You and your Gen, whatever letter they're up to right now, Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Yeah, exactly.
But Satch is not Gen Z.
No, I'm not.
No, but the thing is, look, guys, it was the third heat wave we had. I mean, and we are on course for the fourth one this weekend as well, where temperatures 5 days in a row over 30 degrees.
Isn't it raining this weekend, isn't it, Arsenal?
No, we're going to, it's going to be
raining.
It's,
I thought you said, Kedge's raining this week, arsehole. I thought, wow, that was harsh even for her Thatcher standards. No, it's raining this week. I saw.
It's raining this week, arsehole. Again, and then we're going to...
Maybe that's what I did say. Take it as you want.
Rewind it. Press that little button on the player now, and then iPad. Say, and make it go back 30 seconds 30 or whatever, seconds. A minute, and listen to it. Kedge, I thought it was raining, arsehole.
We're in for the fourth bit of a heat wave, and you know what? People are now are trying all sorts of crazy things. I know I said about the fan techers. People have messaged me. They're going, Kedge, they've seen other people do it. They're trying it themselves. It's working. I've had people buying the blanket. It's working.
Yeah. The Kedge theories, the Kedge methods.
Kedge for Amazon. Someone give Kedge some sort of Amazon cut out of here now. Do you know what I mean? Because Amazon must be loving me.
You know what, Kedge? That's not a bad idea. You should set up your own Amazon shop of like Kedgeisms. The paneer grill thing.
Yeah. We spoke about this. He needs one of them list things that all the influencer girls have on.
Yeah. No, that's...
We've not spoken about that.
Tommy's talking about... Yeah, I like Tommy's idea. Tommy's is like Kedge creates a marketplace on...
Yeah, Amazon. Yeah. and you can just sell all your stuff.
The weird nakra stuff that people will find useful once they see the light.
Exactly. But no, you just got to go, you want this. This is tried and tested. Right. Tried and kedged.
Yeah.
Kedged.
You know the number one thing that I get asked for about where I've got it from?
Your hair removal kit for your body.
No, that's close though. Second, that is. The number one thing and the purchase I made was the standing desk, which basically clips onto any chair. Now, I use that at work every day.
But it's just a desk with long legs. When you say standing desk.
No, that's the magic of it. It's like it folds flat and then it's got like a leg thing out that you can put onto any chair. So you don't need to put it on a desk. You put it on the back of a chair.
Oh, okay.
And it was 50 quid.
Like a baby chair. Like a baby's...
like a baby chair.
Little tray. You know, that kind of clips on.
Yeah, like that. But it's flat, enough space for a MacBook on it. You can put your phone in it. It's got a little phone holder. 50 quid. Can't find it anywhere. The company who made it stopped making it.
Hang on. Kedge, was that good? They stopped making it.
Yeah. Exactly. They made so much money. They just retired.
Yeah.
They retired.
They sold out.
Must be a great product. We stopped making it. It was so good.
I want to make this thing, but I don't know anyone who can make it. All you need is, can you craft wood with a bit of metal? Let's hit me up. Let's go into business.
I would love to see you in a workshop trying to make something like that, because Kedge, you're not capable.
No, I know. I can't. No, that's why I'm asking for a partner. I need investment. I need some dragons. I need, you know what I mean? I need a diary of CEO fella to go, here, Kedge, is 30 grand. I'm flying.
You know where I am. I'm with you, Kedge. I'm with you, right? I'm in. But what are you going to call it? You've got to give it a good name then, because it's foldable. It's like it flaps. Flap desk?
Shall I tell you
flap,
the original make?
Flappy flap. Huh?
Shall I tell you the original make was called Wuteku?
Wuteku. Yeah, because it would take you years to find it online, because it can't be found anywhere. It would take you a long time.
Yeah.
Wuteku.
We should call it standing kedge.
Yeah, but
standing
why are you
kedge.
Saying it?
Search, that's brilliant. Standing kedge.
Like a yoga pose.
Standing
a crouching
kedge.
Tiger, standing kedge.
Standing kedge ledge.
Oh, the kedge ledge.
The kedge ledge.
No, the kedge ledge is great.
The kedge ledge.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There must be someone who listens to it. Let's do the business. Let's do it now.
And you know what? You could make it safe for kids. And like, you know, when you have like rubber all around the outside of the table, so it softens it. So it's a kedge ledge with no edge. So it's just all smooth. The kedge ledge now with no edge.
And wow! It's
just safety kids' head. So your kid will walk past you while you're working at home,
and it won't
bump his head on the table,
and it won't cost you a wedge.
No, it won't. No, there you go.
Yeah, sounds shit.
Satch, we just need £100,000 of your money to
come
get
on,
going.
Man.
Come on, Satch. If you believe
all that DJ money, come on, give us 30 grand, 50 grand.
Just take another F1 Dubai gig, Abu Dhabi. Just take it off from Lewis Hamilton.
Kedge wants 100 grand. I wouldn't even give him £30. He wants 30 grand. I ain't giving him £30.
Kedge turn up. Kedge turn up. And go, Satch, I've made for you the Kedge Ledge fold-up DJ desk, so your decks can drop straight into it. Yeah, and you'd see a video that night of Satch burning it in the garden and just dancing around it, playing proper tunes from a proper table.
I tell you what, Kedge could have done for you though, Tommy. He could have got you a good mic, because what is going on with that? What is this?
Does it sound really
your
bad?
Your mic has got more colours than the rainbow on it.
It sounds like a Birmingham mic.
Where did you buy it from? Where did you get it from?
Okay, so this is what happened. So I was meeting the promoter of Desi Central. Now, he won't mind me saying this. He's a tight man, right? He is, honestly, he loves to cut corners wherever he can. You know, like backstage, you won't have like Cadbury's fingers. You'll have like Dadbury's wingers. And you're like, what are these?
Yeah.
You're like, they look like fingers. It's the same purple colour, but what's it say?
What'd you say?
Dadbury's.
Dadbury's mingers.
Wingers. Their fingers have been somewhere nasty. Their mingers.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so they...
in the women's football, there was one of the players was called Minga. Anyway.
Was it really?
No, sorry. Minge. M-I-N-G-E. She was from Germany.
God, that's like there'd be a German player called, like, Lully Sausage. You might as well be called...
I was waiting for the commentator to say sliding into Minge, but I don't think...
Yeah, you can't do that.
Minge is all over the box.
Yeah.
Minge... Smash the Minge. No.
Well, that's reckless to Minge.
So anyway, back to the mic.
Exactly. No, I want to do more Minge jokes. But
no,
okay,
you can't.
Okay. I've got more about open mouth. Then what was I saying? Then I'm now. Oh, yeah, the mic. So then I said to him, you must have a mic. He goes, yeah, I'm sure I have. And then he did that overly nice thing where he thought, I can't find the mic that... He was going to, because obviously with all the comedy shows, we're all mic'd up and there's various mics we can use and there's a load of equipment. Yeah. And he just thought, you know what? I'll just go and get him a simple mic. That's all he needs, because I said I'm only going to end up using my wife's headset otherwise. And he got this. He went, there you go, little present from me. And obviously it lights up. It says, you know, USB, portable, lightweight.
Really basic one that I don't even think basic YouTubers would use.
It's to the point where, do you know where the kids have that Echo one? I think that might be better.
Yeah.
Then the plastic one.
I should be so lucky. The karaoke ones. Well, I apologise in advance. I'll keep my chat.
It's like that comedian. You know, have you seen that comedian who goes around and he puts that effect on the microphone? So then,
hello.
Yeah. I love that guy. And did have you seen the one where they got that guy and the girl and they don't know each other? That was brilliant.
Well, they don't know each other. No, the one I
saw. He goes, are you gonna get it on tonight? And they were like, I don't even know who he is.
Right. So he's a comedian. He's going up to people in the audience, right? Let me explain. Right. He's going to people in the audience. He goes to the front row, but he's got a special microphone which basically makes you sound like the Trolls. If you know the Trolls, you know, like when it goes on electric.
Yeah.
In the way that it sounds. So he goes to people and goes, hey, what is your name? And they all go like, Mark. And they go, hello, Mark.
You've got to buy into the game, because there are some people who don't want to sing. You've got to sing along.
Because even if you say your name like this, it will turn it into that, you know, like kind of jazzes it up. God. But he goes to these two people, goes, so are you guys married? And they go, and they start laughing. And he goes, what's going on? And basically turns out they were married. Now they're divorced, but they just hook up. They just hook up from time to time. So I was like, and the whole audience is losing their mind. Like, what the heck? And then the guys high-five each other.
You can't do that with your mic anyway, Tommy. Let's swiftly move on back to the heat wave though. Honestly, what I said, Kedge, is just the night times. And recently I've actually kind of noticed that it's getting worse, because obviously when you're at events, you're in like a club or you're like, you know, DJing at a wedding or some, it's affecting what we're doing now. And that's annoying me a bit now as well. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm just like, it's so hot that I like, you know, people are, sometimes I'm watching them, they're not having a good time because it's too hot inside. You know, it's hard for us to be on our game. I'm sure Tommy might feel the same if he's, you know, performing somewhere. It's just like, do you know what? It wears you out quickly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I love partying in it. You know, it hasn't affected me. I know it's affected you guys, but I'm loving it.
What do you mean? And then people stink as well. in the heat.
That's why. Oh. That's why he's comfortable. Because he's that guy. Because he's skinny, he's in the club, he can be sweaty and just be like a skinny sweaty guy.
The sting.
For a bigger guy to be sweaty in the club, I hate it. Bonus side of it is that when I'm in the gym,
yeah,
I'm sweating loads more.
Yeah,
between.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so
yeah,
you're on the machine like 10 minutes, and you're like, whoa, I must be having a solid one today. Yeah. But you're not. It's just that much harder.
And the workout.
But just on the toilet, just on the way into the gym.
Can we do a public service announcement? Because we did mention stink and sweat. And can we just do the little differences between what an antiperspirant do and what a deodorant do? Antiperspirants stop sweating.
Right.
Deodorant.
Do they stop it or do they stop the smell of?
No. Deodorant stops the smell.
I don't think deodorant.
Yeah, deodorant masks the smell.
But hang on a minute. If your hygiene's good, then you know you shower and stuff. You don't really need that because it doesn't.
No, I think I know.
You
know I mean?
If you had meti, if you had meti, you do.
Yeah, no, well, you need to stop
don't
it.
Make you steam you well.
Need, no, of it course does. It does, and you need to stop. Kedge, that is the stupidest God, thing.
What so is does. Wrong with you
no,
people?
No.
Meti does.
We're not having this conversation. We're not having this conversation.
100%. Meti does to your pores and your skin. Meti does is the same as what asparagus does to your pits.
You guys need to clean your pores more. There ain't no problem with meti. Listen.
No, it's not even just that. It's even all the spices and stuff. You can smell it.
Oh,
it comes at you. Comes at you.
No, listen.
But you don't realise, Kedge, because you're that guy. You're the smelly guy.
You're the smelly guy.
That's why you're all right.
All I'm saying is public service announcement, because like Sat said, you know, going on the underground, I don't know why, but there's a lot of people who are struggling with whether they need deodorant or antiperspirants. If in doubt, whack them both. But get the right things. Antiperspirants stop sweating. Deodorant masks the smell. So, you know, if you're absolutely constantly humming, let's start doing the antiperspirant.
No, but that's what I mean. I don't think it's the antiperspirant's job or the deodorant. You just need good hygiene. How about
no,
that?
No,
stop
no,
there.
It's a
stop
bone.
There.
The base. Yeah,
start
you're
there.
Right.
The start, base, start at the beginning. Base,
yeah, ground step one on this journey is wash.
Yeah, properly, thoroughly.
Don't go, oh, I've not washed for days, but don't worry, I heard the boys talking about antiperspirant and deodorant,
exactly, isn't it? Exactly.
No, you got to start, let's get the scrub.
I'm going to say, I think as Asians, this is a problem for us.
Well,
no, I don't, no, not all of us, not all of
no.
us. You boys have known me 10 years now, have I ever hummed?
No, I'm
never.
Talking about
community.
I'm talking about not us three. I'm talking about us as a community. I think we have issues with this. I don't think we excel in this. We excel in making warapao. We excel in making pani puri, but we don't excel. Like, you know, in your school report, this would be F minus.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. If you're making those foods, then you're probably humming because it's just. I'm sorry, but you are. There's nothing you can do about it.
Let me ask you this, Kedge, genuinely. Have we got a problem with this? Is it British Asians?
He's gone there.
He's gone there.
No, go on, because we're doing it. You're saying we. So you're taking the hit.
Hey, it ain't me, mate. It ain't me, it ain't my people.
And I'm going, it ain't me. And it ain't none of the kids I went to school with who are now 30, 40, 50 years old.
No, wait. I know, and I'm not going to mention, but I know people, when you say we, yeah, and I know what you're trying to, where are you going with this? I know people born in this country with this problem.
Yeah, no, same here. There are some, Tommy. There are some. They've got freedom there. They've got freedom there.
You know, do you need
but
to
then,
speak to
then,
them?
Okay, then let me ask you this. Let me rephrase it. Earlier you said we got a problem with this. Okay, have the people born in this country got a problem with this?
Yes.
Yeah, some of them.
You mean it's that big of an issue?
Yeah, some of them.
Okay. No, I think it is.
No, but if only some people have, then we haven't got a problem.
But hang on a minute. But it goes back to what I said. It's the smelly ones. The ones that probably don't wash and shower and stuff every day or go in the morning.
No, there are some people who shower, but by the time they walk to the train station, that's it.
No, go. No, but then you've got underlying, you've got deeper issues. You shouldn't be humming that much.
Yeah. And I think I can say this without appearing anti anyone. I find different races hum in different ways. So
yeah,
you know
correct.
you definitely look, and I'm saying about my own people. Brown people smells because of the food and things like that is one way.
Do you think it's really down to the food?
White and black people are different.
But every race we know that has smelly people. It's just normal. Like It is. It's just white, black, brown.
I mean, this is the problem. I think this is the problem that Trump and Starmer need to solve.
No, he's got nothing to do then. What are they going to do?
Well, it's, I don't know. I just think it's...
I mean, step number one, shower. In the morning and in the evening. And you know, like, the rest will all fall into place. We'll work it out. We'll work it out.
The way Sad said that was like he was broadcasting into the nation.
No, it is, because I tell you what. I went to the cricket on Monday, and obviously it was a test match, the final day of the test at Lord's. I went there.
How was the Edridge stand?
Dude.
Were you in the Edridge stand?
No, what's that? I was in the grandstand. I don't know.
Oh, the grandstand.
Yeah,
okay.
I was in the grandstand. Right. And, you know.
Was that a TV show?
Ooh. Anyway, I was, you know, and you know, I thought of you, boys, because I was like, the last time I probably went to cricket was with you lot when we did all the Borough Army games. Remember that?
Yeah,
and that was
going
back about 6-7 years ago now. And you know, walked in, and I immediately got to the gates, and I was like, right, we've got the same issues we had 7 years ago. No one's queuing up. Everyone's free for all to get in. And I'm just like, why has this not changed? In, you know, so I was kind of disappointed there. People
but
just
cricket,
pushing in
but
front
cricket
of you.
Entrance is different, Sad. And there's no real queuing system.
No, but hang on a minute. I'm sorry, but like, if this, like, now there's a group of maybe eight people, about six people behind us. One of them wiggled her way to the front, and she had the phone with like the tickets on it. So she scanned it, and now she's waiting for all of her people, about 10 people behind, to come through. And she's in front of me, and I was just like, well, how's that going to work? Like, there's about 10 people here. Where are your people going to come from? And she just looked at me like gormless, like I was thick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, are you dumb? Like, seriously, like, what is wrong with you? And I'm just,
funny,
all of these things,
funny,
and I'm just
it's
like...
funny how we behave when we're...
I'm just like, I just don't you've just not even thought about this. Like, there's no way through for your party of six to come through 10, 15 people. It's just not going to work. So why did you push in at the front?
Yeah.
Don't make sense.
But, okay. So,
and she stunk. On top of that. She's gonna
that's why
there.
She got to the front.
But she's like, the path just cleared for her. So just because I was hosting Gurdas Mann on Friday and you said people are dumb. So I was hoping Gurdas Mann. And you start off the concert. This is at the. It's now called BP Pulse Live. I didn't know it was called that. NEC. And up on the stage, doing a little thing, chat to the people. The promoter comes out. He goes, "I've got six tickets to bring people to the front row. Who wants them?" Right, thinking people come from the back row to get them or whatever. From the, you know, come on down kind of thing. And a woman in the front row put her hand up. I said, "Your turn." She went, "Me, please, me." And I went, "You, we are."
You're in the front row.
And I said, it on the mic. I said, that's such an Asian thing. Like, doesn't matter. If it's going free, I'll take it.
She wanted to be even more of a front row. She wanted to be on the edge of the stage.
She wasn't. She was there.
On the other side of the
barrier.
That's not really a great idea for health and safety. You've got people running from the back to the front.
She wanted to be up Gurdas Mann's nose.
An Indian concert. Relax on your health and safety. All right? Relax on that.
That didn't exist.
Punjab rules. It's a different.
By the way, did you ask Gurdas Mann if he likes empanadas or samosas?
Be honest. I want people to know this truth. I didn't even see him backstage. Not once. The first time I saw him was on stage, because obviously he comes into the venue like not last minute. He's done his sound checks and stuff. Then he goes for a bit. Then he comes back straight in with his missus. His wife was there. I met his wife before, and that was lovely. She's lovely.
Nice.
And then he comes. You know, I do the big. I'm on stage while he's lined up to come on stage. I'm doing my thing. Introduce him. He comes out, breaks into his first number, and then we cross over at the break. So no, I didn't. And then nice.
Who's the next celebrity you're going to meet?
Well, hold on. Can I just say everybody wanted to do the meet and greet with him at the end, right?
So
can I this time around? I think I can say this. It's all right. There was. Should I say this? I feel like I've been out. Maybe I've been out of order. There's so many sob stories. Like people coming up to me. I had 30 to 40 people that came up to me and said, please sort it out for me to meet him. You don't realize I'm going through this. I've got a friend who's going through this. Someone who's just been through this. And people don't hold back now. I wouldn't reveal that to a host. If I were to meet, I'm trying to think of a host on set. Chris Evans, right? Chris Evans is there. And who's backstage that I've always loved him?
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy's there with, I was going to start naming all the wrong
Will Smith. Let's keep it clean.
Will Smith's there, right? Or Chris Rock. Chris Rock's there, right? Let's go with the other side of the Will Smith chopper. Chris Rock, loving the bits. Oh my God. Ultimate comedian. Let me please me. But I wouldn't then go, you know what? You know, I lost my job. I've been through real hard. You wouldn't do that to Chris. You just go.
I think that's different in the sense that I think we find that weird because we are in and around and we've seen it. We've been there, done it, got the sticker. I think if you're a normal, you know, entry paying punter, this is your only chance. You're going to get anywhere near maybe your idol. And I think then you just go, no holds barred. I'm going to dig out and bring out everything if it means that I can sway the person to take me to the promised land.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it just gets, you know, they don't care.
Yeah. Mm. But bear in mind, bro, I ain't no counselor. When I've heard 15, 20 of these, and a lot of them are the same syndromes, issues, health issues.
Did some of them sound fake, Tommy?
One woman, flipping out. I wonder, there was no end to her story. Right. She said, so she goes, I'm a single mum. Oh, okay. She goes, I really need to meet Gurdasman. I went, well, he's happily married.
That's a great joke. Oh, this is the same thing.
She didn't laugh. She went, no, I need to meet, you know, my daughter, she sees Gurdasman like a dad, right? Like a dad to her. And then she starts crying in front of me, bro. Right? This is right by the front of the barrier stage. I've literally just wrapped up the first half. I'm going, right, you know, see you all in a bit kind of thing. And then they've gone, Tommy. So obviously I've just gone over and that was it. That's when I got inundated with all of these. Then she started crying and she threw her arms around me with the barrier between us. Bruv, I had a white jacket on, makeup all over it.
Oh, mate, that must have been brown.
I want to thank Diaz, by the way, Diaz clothing store in on Soho Road in Birmingham, lending me it. I had to return it to them. I went, look, this is what happened.
They gave you a white jacket, you gave them a brown jacket.
Well, sort of reddy, browny, black with blue. I don't know what it was. Whatever was on her eyes, or one eye, it was all now on my shoulder.
Tommy, you should have sent her the dry cleaning bill. It's not acceptable.
I told, because I returned it with Milo. And Milo goes, and because obviously we're in the shop, he's 13 now. And I go, oh, so I got some woman's makeup on it. He looked at me. Oh. He goes, why you got woman's makeup on you? And he's never done anything like that. I went, no, this woman was emotional, Milo. She saw the impact. He goes, so why she? But he started questioning me. He goes,
Man was ready to grasp. Honestly, he's not on your side, Tommy.
I can't trust him for anything. I ain't telling you nothing. Logan's all right. He's corruptible. But Milo, he's like, nah, mate. No. I went, no. And then I had to explain the whole story to him. I went, what happened? He goes, why did she think that you could help her? And I went, no, because I'm the host. I said, they think
I'm Tommy Sandman, bruv.
Yeah. And he's just, you know, like, he's looking at me like,
I ain't buying this.
Yeah, I ain't buying
this. Someone's chatting shit.
So I think, actually, on another note, I'm within my rights to be slightly annoyed at my wife. Tell me what you think of this scenario, people. Ready? It is our 16th wedding anniversary. We got married in 2009. Okay, we have two wedding anniversaries, June the 27th and we have August the 2nd. June the 27th was our civil wedding, you know, English, I do's. And August the 2nd is our Indian Sikh wedding in the temple and then the party afterwards. So on June the 27th, we give each other a card. Happy 16 years of married. She gave me a card which said, happy 17 years of marriage.
Ooh.
She got it wrong.
Ooh.
She goes, and I went, 17? Like, I think it was a joke. She went, what? I went,
it feels like 17.
It's 16. No, she
should have got out of that one.
She could have, well, the extra year over there. No, that's not strong enough. So I went, you got it wrong. She goes, wow. Oh, God. She goes, oh, my God. And I think she did make some sort of joke like that. She goes, oh, extra year in it because we've crammed in so much or something like that. I went, if that was the other way around, I'd be a typical bloke who doesn't pay attention. Every woman. Did you name it. I'm telling you, all the women now listen to this podcast. that's a guy thing to do. That's not a wife thing to do.
Did you make the most of it? Like, what happened? Like, you know, then, like, because you could have done the sob story, like the auntie, and started crying on her shoulder and be like, you know.
You know what? You know what it's become, bro? It's become a joke. It's become the thing that you can talk about and joke about. So when now, any time there's a reference to how long you've been married, she goes, 17. 17, isn't it? So that's how they're dealing with it. So they're dealing with the mess up. And I'm like, but I was just stunned. And I think, honestly, I needed to have stood up more for my rights as a man in that situation and gone, that's wrong. How can you not keep account of the years? And she's an accountant. That's her job.
Tommy, you're not that guy. I'm sure you wouldn't have got. Did you start crying?
Of course not. And actually, exactly. the problem I really have is I don't really care.
That's what I mean. I know you don't care.
But I just know if it was the other way around, she would care. Therefore, I should care now to balance out the care.
Of course, yeah.
Or I should get in on the, like, because it's all a game, right? Marriage is just a game. So I should get in on the being annoyed now so that I've got a token for her to be annoyed later on and go, you messed up with the card, all right? Yeah. I was pretty upset.
If you don't get annoyed, that's it. You're going to miss your chance.
Bank the annoyed. Bank it for another day.
Men can't bank the annoyance. That's the thing. You can't bank that.
I've got to cash it in. I went straight to the cashier. Yeah, but she, I went to the cashier and she basically went, you're not really going to try and bank this, are you? And I went, no, you're right, it's funny. And just like, that's it.
You got mugged up. You went to withdraw 300 quid and she gave you 200 and laughed.
Exactly. And she's charging me interest.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
I was like, how did she suplex me out of this one? I was like, what happened? I had the pin. I was on the one, two, third one, hands going down, and somehow she's wriggled out. And now it's funny. It's a funny thing. So I think, I'm sorry, fellas, but I let you all down.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, you have let the side down, but it's fine. I tell you something that made me laugh over the weekend, and it was interesting because I was out for it, because it was heatwave weekend in London town, particularly into the 30s, and we went on a work picnic, so from the work crew lot, and we were...
Picnic?
Yeah. It was like drinks and just faffing in a park.
So was it... Oh, no, hang on a minute. So there weren't picnic. Was it just one of them when you get with your mates and then you go and buy a tinny from Tesco's?
And then nibbles as well, but it was all ready made. No one made anything, if you know what I mean.
No, I love that. By the way, I love the 3 for 8 quids, the 4 for 12s, and all that, the finer range. I love
you
all
know
that.
What? I've got to say, it was for the first time I tried the Charlie Sloth vodka.
It's AU, you boy.
Yeah, but it's because that's his sound, isn't it? Oh, like that's why it's called AU.
That is not
no,
his
mate. No, mate.
What is
the hip hop DJ, right? Going, oh, here's a new one by KC.
That's his song.
No, it's not, Kedge. I don't know where you've got that from.
It's gold, and so that's what it is. It's AU.
AU bled.
No. Well, it's because of his sound.
Jog my memory. When did you last hear Charlie Sloth go, you listen to radio?
I worked on his show. That was his thing. He would go, oh my God. I'm going to have to find Charlie now and get this verified. Right, anyway.
Poor Charlie, right now he'd be like, brap, why would you say that?
Yeah, doing that.
Anyway, so by the way, it's really nice. I just thought the blueberry one, it was banging. So we were there, we're just all like sitting there.
Do you know he's worth a billion quid now?
Yeah, he was worth a billion quid when we were at the BBC.
Yeah, do you know who that kid is, though, that set up that EU vodka? Remember that ball boy kid that was at the Chelsea game and Hazard kicked him? Oh, is that him? That's him. He got the compensation, man. He set up a vodka company and then got Charlie to be part of it.
Okay. But yeah. So anyway, we were there, sat down, did our thing, and all of a sudden, a massive, massive group of Punjabis family.
Well,
so hang on, what were you in Southall Park? Where were you? Oh, not far.
So then I looked and I thought, hold a minute, there was an old sort of granddad thing just pacing up and down.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, oh, I didn't
was that his name? There. Pacing.
Yeah. and he had his hands behind his back. I quite liked it. And then he picked up a like a stick and he was just like parading. I was like, I wonder what he's doing. But like, I was just watching this. Like, no one else was locked in on this apart from me, because obviously we've got the Asian antennas. And he's pacing. Yeah. And then I'm like, that's fine. I wonder what he's doing.
Maybe he's checking out. You're, oh, vodka.
Yeah. and then all of a sudden, three aunties come in holding three big boxes, like sort of cooler type boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool boxes. Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Cool. This is the signs of a proper picnic, this.
Yes. Then I'm thinking, oh, but then I thought, that's a lot, isn't it, for just three plus one.
Yeah.
Then they started getting like the Rajai out and everything. And
love it. Yeah, proper.
Setting up base camp.
Love it.
Massive square.
Love it.
Surface, kilometre.
That's how a picnic should go.
So I'm like, I think this is good. But I said, but where are the people? Then someone had to send, because they were on the fact-finding mission. Then the aunties went back and obviously called the rest of the dabbar.
Yeah.
And then
the coach pulled up.
20, if not 30 people, all holding beer kegs, some on their head. All, there was a doll involved.
Oh,
this is brilliant. And I just felt so proud. And
what
then,
part?
Then
Southall. No.
Windsor, yeah.
Then I started pointing it out to all the gore. I'm going, look at this, guys. I said, this is how we roll. These are my picnics. They were like, what? They had like patillas, like straight up patillas from the house with the lid, the metal ones. And they were just, it was sloshing around there. I was loving it. And I was like, I don't want to eat this bits of cheese and olives. I want to have whatever.
Because I reckon, okay, this is how my mind goes. Those cool boxes weren't cool boxes.
Yeah.
They were hot boxes.
Ah.
Because they wouldn't, because I'm sorry, I'm going to be very stereotypical here. Please, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you the way life is.
What? They were hot boxing.
Meaning the women were bringing in their perante. That was in there.
Yeah.
So the women, because they wouldn't give them, because booze is going to be heavy. If it's
bottles. Because they carried it quite easy.
Right. The roti and the pronte are still going to be heavy, but I reckon each of them probably packing 30, 40 each, whatever, about 20, 30 each. So it's carryable. And they'll be kept wrapped up in the foil. Then they'll be wrapped up in the bona. We call it the bona, the cloth.
Okay.
Tea towels.
Yeah.
So for extra one. And then it's closed into the box. And that steam actually works well with an aluwala pronta. It works well. Because then they're kind of packed in there. The warmth of it stays in there. Then as you take one out, the alu gets soft, the pronta soft. All you don't need is a bit of a chard and a bit of dahi. Leave me alone, sitting in the sunshine with a little dabba.
They were right next to the lake. It was
tuna
perfect.
Plane.
I'm getting jelly because I'm eating crackers, and these guys are eating like parote. And then
I bet they were chole.
Well, they must have been. I couldn't because there were trees there, so they're slightly hidden. And the speaker came out. Mere Sunia, Emmy Work starts playing, and I thought, this is the life, innit? It just felt like Punjab. And the Gore were just so bamboozled by what was going on.
Tommy, I have a feeling that he probably went with on the Gore side and was like, look at these people. Look at them. He's giving it all of this big and on the podcast right now. But he was, I'm telling you, he was one of them.
You're so right.
This is a tune.
I bet none of them are legal.
I'm all there for that. I'm Mr. Proud Indian there. So, but it was just, I just thought, I'm going to write this down because this is one for the podcast. I just love scenes because you don't see big Asian families going on picnics anymore. That's what it is. You know, everyone's like segregated, you know, maybe two or three people.
I miss them.
But I miss those days.
I never forget that my uncles beat somebody up by a lake. And after that, I just think like I got traumatized because we were the Punjabi family. I'll tell you what happened. I know exactly what happened. We're all there. There's about 30 of us. Barbecue, illegal, completely illegal. You're not allowed to barbecue there.
You're
not.
No.
Right? It was Hainault or Fairlop, which is, if you know the area in northeast sort of London, right? So around that way, there's by a big lake. All the kids are playing. And I think now, in hindsight, there were some people, guys, young guys, fishing by the lake. Not us, obviously, not part of our crew.
Yeah.
And we were all messing around not too far away from them by the lake.
Yeah.
So that annoyed them. One of them had a slingshot, and he fired a stone over that hit one of my cousins, donk, in the head. Ooh. That cousin goes running off crying. And someone goes, over there, he did a slingshot. That was it. Three uncles went round. I remember we were across the lake. So one uncle went, and all three of the guys, and he hit one of the guys, and he went into the lake. And then the second one jumped into the lake, and the third one ran off down the lane. And I remember everybody was cheering. And look, you got to remember, I've never been in a fight in my life, right? I've never been in a group fight, a solo fight, never made a fist in it. And people have gone, wow, that's amazing. How have you got through your life to this age without getting a fight? I'm like, I just don't like it. I remember all the other cousins my age were going, yeah, like, you know, this cha-cha, this four-foot, this
up,
whatever.
Bang him up.
Right? I started crying. I said, I don't like it. I don't like this. Why is this day's turned horrible now? This day's turned horrible.
It's ruined my fun.
That's what it had. And it did. It ruined my fun. And they're like, yeah, but we beat them up. Do you think that's funny? I don't think it's funny. I was so upset. I was like, this was a lovely day. And I hope you're all proud of yourself. Like, you could have gone and just spoken to them and just said, guys, I think one of your stones might have accidentally flown over our way. And then we just confronted it. I still don't like picnics around the lake for that reason. I think it's going to kick off.
So this wasn't your family then? These weren't the sand dudes that I bumped into at Windsor?
No, I tell you, it was my sanga, Fufur, and it was my cousin.
Tommy, when did this happen? Was it last week?
No. I was about 10.
It's funny, isn't it? Things that happen on Asian picnics will stay with you for life, and they scar you, because I had a moment that scarred my life as well.
Gone
picnic, and it was
it was just the one.
Yeah. It was horrifying because basically we were playing some sort of Indian game where
at the like, boys' school.
No, with the family, and it was like it's kind of like Stuck in the Mud versus It or Tag or something like that, right? But the thing is, you have to go and stand in front of the. So if you go and stand in front of the person that's behind you has to start running, and he's the person who gets tagged. So we were playing this with kids and everyone and adults. And for some reason, my cousin, who was probably about 6, thought instead of standing in front of the person, you have to stand behind the person. And he was getting so excited because he was being chased, and then he found someone that he could stand behind. But instead of, because what you have to do is you have to clap, right? To let the other person know, oh, you're on the run now. But instead of clapping, he just pulled my uncle's shorts and pants down. So we're in the middle of Royal Parks with my uncles, like, you know, everything hanging out, and you
fishing
know
rod.
It was all in slow motion. I'm like, why are you not pulling your shorts up?
And the whole family got kicked out of the picnic. That's it. The whole park gone.
Yeah, and gone. And then there was white people who were just laughing. Everyone was laughing. We'd collapsed on the floor. Aunties, uncles, and it was just hilarious.
Hang on, Cage. Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. We were laughing.
Just checking.
So, yeah, but come on. Surely, even to this day, because the fact that you brought it up, you can still picture your Gakas Pataka. You can still see it in your head.
Absolutely. See? I didn't take after that side of the family, I tell you that.
Well, clearly you're fine with a little bit of low-level pornography or flashing going on in public parks. If you had added that to my mix, I would have had violence and that, and I'm like, oh god.
Do you know what? Speaking of picnics, though, do you know, I had a bit of an issue when I was going to the cricket yesterday, because the weather's so hot, and I was thinking about it the day before. I was just like, I'm gonna make like maybe sandwiches or something, like cheese and cucumber or something like that. And then I thought, do you know what? It's too hot, because the sandwiches are just gonna taste rank, ain't they? Because it's gonna be out in the heat for maybe three or four hours. Yeah, and yeah. I was just like,
but they're in a shop. They're like in a, you know,
what?
You know, they're gonna be. Well, oh, you mean if you took your own sandwiches?
Yeah. Oh, like, right. Yeah. No, even if I thought about it, it's like, maybe I go Tesco's or M&S or something before. If I pick a sandwich up at like 9 o'clock and you want to eat it at like one, it's going to taste a bit funky, isn't it? And
then, yeah. Yeah, it needs, you know, to be, so I had that whole diet,
and you know, it's one that I just end up taking loads of snacks.
Just little side point. Mm. Sometimes that little soggy sandwich, I find it really nostalgic of childhood. So I don't mind cucumber and cheese in a bit of soggy bread. You know, when it's been sat in a cling film for about 2-3 hours. I like that.
I
like that.
And then the other thing that, like, so I took my dad and my uncle, and my uncle pulled out chocolates. And again, they were just,
that's
like,
what Kedge's uncle did in the park.
And,
straight up Snickers.
And it was a Snickers, actually. And I took a bite into it, and I thought, that's it. The debate's over. In the summer, chocolate's got to go in the fridge.
Yeah.
It has to. You know, because there's always people kicking off. No, because then people kicking off saying you can't put chocolate in the fridge. It goes like white, like a white colour and stuff like that.
If you leave it there for months.
Yeah, that's it. That's out of date, bruv.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was just like, right, that's it. Chocolate's got to come. And I think that Tesco's and all of that should put chocolates in the fridge now.
I think when it's super hot, they sort of do. They clear stuff away, and they put, particularly the ones that are like by the tills or things like that, they go into fridges. But I agree. But I love cold chocolate. Some things don't work. Like Twix doesn't work cold because
the caramel goes too hot.
All that. Like, you know, even Snickers to some extent does work. You know, it's got a bit of chewy caramel in it. But I love a cold chocolate. By the way, Kit Kat cold is really nice.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the all chocolate cold is banging?
Yeah. The four-finger Kit Kat has got smaller. I bought a four-finger. It has got smaller. And I don't get it. I don't like smaller. I was thinking, I don't know why they don't do. Get this. Okay, if you're listening, ready for a wicked idea. The four-finger chunky. It's four chunkies all together in a giant packet like that, like a four-finger Kit Kat, but each of them are chunkies.
That's a lot of chocolate.
That's a lot of chocolate, isn't it?
Will you share it?
No, but you can get, if you go and buy a multi-pack of Kit Kat Chunkies, there's four in there. Same thing.
Yeah.
Are you one of them attached?
Well, that's like saying buy a multi-pack of two-finger Kit Kats.
You want them attached together, basically.
Yeah. They don't want to snap them apart. That's the fun in it. That's a, have a break, have a Kit Kat. Wow. You got to do that. But I think the four-finger, I think bigger sometimes is better.
It's funny you say bigger is better, because Pret launched something last week, and do you know what? It caused a bit of a stir on online and people on Twitter and stuff like that. Sorry, X.
I'm not across this because
you got a Pret what?
I said, because I normally go to Pret quite often to get a bit of lunch.
I thought you had membership at Starbucks, or was it Pret?
I don't have membership, nowhere.
You had Cafe Neuro, something like that.
No, I've never. You got reward card points.
No, Ked, you were one of them where it's like, I paid for all of my coffees in advance.
I don't drink that much coffee. I would never have done that. Never.
It's something like that. So anyway.
VB and Tons thing on his aubergine.
Yeah, right.
He's got Badon subscription. Banging subscription.
So the thing Pret have released is a range called the Premium Salads. They're priced between, get this, boys, how much would you go into Pret and pick up a salad for?
They are on the pricier side. A good sandwich here is about a fiver. So what, 7, 8, 9 quid?
You wouldn't pay more than 7, 8 quid, would you? For salad.
If you're saying these are premium ones, though. Premium set, yeah. In Pret, 7, 8, 9 quid.
Well,
they're
priced between £10 and £13. The most expensive one is £13. And people were just like, "That I might as well go to a restaurant and get a salad."
See, that's interesting, because that's exactly where my mind went to. Because I thought, actually, you'd pay £13, £15, £18 for a chicken Bosco salad at ZZ or Pret.
Yeah.
Pret. What was going to say? Pizza Prezzo. Express.
Pizza Express.
Prezzo, yeah. That's it. Prezzo Pizza Express. You pay that there, but you wouldn't for a takeaway. I think 13 quid for a takeaway.
This is what you get for 13 quid. Lightly smoked salmon fillet with tender stem broccoli, miso orange dressing. And miso dressing.
No, but the
thing and there's like a chili aubergine or something. A bit gloopy, what someone says.
The thing is, people are paying for this. I, back in the day, you could get all of lunch and everything sorted for a fiver. You would spend a fiver at work. Now it's gone up to 10 plus. And 13, look, to be fair, if you go to that salad place, Tost, it's like $9.99 for a salad there anyway.
For them to toss your salad?
Yeah.
I was going to say, was it a salad place? Get your salad.
It just started opening up. Do you remember? It started opening up as we were leaving the BBC.
Even those kind of Chipotle burrito bowls that you can get and all that. They're like 12, 13, 14, 15 quid as well.
You might as well go and get one of them instead, innit?
The thing is, the Mark's
lunch, they do like a small salad. But it's a really small one. So like you need to buy at least two of them.
But then you get
the big one is not enough. It's like a couple of spoons. I don't know why everything is getting so expensive here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Pret
will carry on and people will be buying that stuff.
Because under
this thing about, I'm eating healthy, superfoods, rare, people just do borrow stuff.
It's just 13 quid for that rubbish.
It's well expensive.
I've just seen, actually, I looked it up. I thought, let me see how good this salad looks. It's got pulses and all that in it. It's got kidney beans. But look at this. It's got hand-massaged garlic in it. Kale. Okay. Sorry. But look, hand-massaged kale. What is that about? Like, someone... Here you go, kale. Yeah. Now you're going to massage this kale off.
Yeah, mate. You get your hands off my kale.
I'll tell you where people would be eating stuff like that is at Wimbledon, because you know the prices of stuff like all of that is proper expensive.
I saw last week the amount of people that posted up strawberries and honestly they put cream on it. It looked like the most looky portion of strawberries and cream I've seen
from
in my
Wimbledon.
Life. And it was so expensive. People were just like, it cost 12 quid or something for a little box. No, and I was just
aren't
like,
the strawberries? The strawberries are the same price at Wimbledon. They always have been. That's the thing they talk about.
Honestly, it looked really bad. It looked really bad.
I thought it was a thing at Wimbledon that strawberries have been the same price that they've always been for like 30 years.
I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, mate.
I don't think so. But I tell you what is getting more and more prominent at Wimbledon is the amount of celebrities, and it's Bollywood. The whole of Bollywood felt like they'd descended onto SW17 or 19 or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. It's like every single Bollywood person is there.
So it's my little name drop, I went to dinner last week with Brittany Zinta's manager who was in town.
She was there
and she said Brittany's coming, we've got a box at the game on Sunday. But she came in for one day, she came in, watched a game and left. That was it.
I'm sorry, they do not watch tennis that religiously to be like, I'm going to fly in and watch the tennis game and go back to Bombay.
But bro, Wimbledon is a bucket list thing, bro. Even I'd go, it's like going Carnival, Rio. You go, I'd want to go for that. Or going to see El Clasico back in the day.
No.
What?
I'm not that fussed if I don't go to Wimbledon. Maybe I'm a bit weird.
Hang on a minute. I do want to go. But I just think it's a bit over the top, isn't it? Flying in for one day to see a game. Like, come on. It's a bit silly.
No, boys. What's wrong with you? It's the final.
These guys weren't there in the final.
They don't even know what tennis is.
No, our girl Priyanka Chopra was there. Deepika Padukone was there. Saif Ali Khan, Sohaili Khan was there. Who else was there? We had that guy from what was his name? I've forgotten it. I don't even remember these people's name. In that Karan Johar film, Virat Kohli was there. A lot of the cricketers were there.
All the cricketers were there.
I saw Virat and Anushka together.
Yeah, did you see their photo? They looked like they had a massive Barney. They didn't have the greatest photos taken.
Yeah, they had the strawberries, mate. They were shit.
Yeah, but can I tell you, I've done a bit of research into why Indian celebrities are all suddenly appearing at Wimbledon.
Here we go.
Go on.
Well, is it to do with watching the game? Is it to do with fashion? No. It's about finance.
Ooh.
Right? It's all about networking, visibility, and valuations, right? So all these influencers and the stars and the business heirs and all these companies, they're all going there because what it means is if you get seen at Wimbledon, it gives you access to luxury brands, Rolex, Ralph Lauren, Moët, Jaguar, endorsements, right? Loads of money, loads of money. And global brands want Indian faces, right? So apparently, with India being projected to become a $5 trillion economy by 2027, global luxury brands are now trying to flood the Indian market. So this is how you do it. You get a hold of these people, you start sending them to Wimbledon, you get seen, because I mean, even this time around, BBC started doing a celebrity watch thing. They would actually, during the game, I saw that. Right, let's go hunting. So your Deepikas and your Virat Kohlis and everything, they all attend, but they're not there for the tennis. Like Sad said, it's all about brand positioning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes sense.
And their presence there makes them appeal more to global investors. And that is why they're doing this.
Brilliant. To be fair, when I saw Virat and Anushka sat in Wimbledon, they were in some crap seats, to be fair, and I thought, do you know what, it's you two, like why are you sat just like they were just regular Joes, if you know what I mean. I thought that's a bit strange.
It's a bit weird. And then also
you thought they'd be in a box or whatever.
Tendulkar was at both on one day. I remember seeing
Tendulkar
that.
Tendulkar was there both, but Virat Kohli didn't want to come to cricket.
Do you know who else was at the cricket? Yes, sir, by the way, Akshay Kumar was there. Random.
Yeah, he looked dapper. He looked dapper in that jacket.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me on very nicely to things we have learned this week.
Yes. And I've got a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to kick things off. This Forbes list came out of rich people.
Hmm.
Elon Musk. $362.5 billion.
Oof.
Jeff Bezos, by the way, is $189.4 billion. But Elon Musk is like nearly double him. $60 billion.
Nuts.
So what I worked out was, you know how like you can find 20 quid, 10 quid in your pocket? Right, let's say you find a tenner in your pocket. Right, and you go, ooh, tenner in those jeans. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cheeky tenner. For Elon Musk to feel that amount of money for like how we would feel about a tenner, he would have to find in his trousers $33 million.
Oh wow!
Cheeky for him to experience that same as a portion of his overall wealth. He put his hand and he wanted to feel the same level of surprise. Sorry, $37 million. Is what he would have to feel.
Just lying
in his pocket. That is the equivalent of like 10, 15 quid.
Brilliant. Wow. I like that.
Get your head round by that level of wealth. It's just ridiculous. It was more just a, put it in proportion. Get that. You don't need that. And actually, he's the one living a simple life now. He doesn't even want anything. What does that tell you about money? Doesn't buy anything. There you go.
Brilliant.
What you got?
The thing I learnt this week is, and I think I'm going to go with this one because it's something that I think I might have heard a long time ago, but it only sort of when I read it carefully and I was just like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So do you know Volvo invented the seatbelt as it is in a car at the moment?
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Do you know the actual, it's called a 3-point seatbelt.
Yeah.
It was made in 1959 and every car's more or less got the same seatbelt. Like the design doesn't change. Yeah. Like it's the same, isn't it?
I'm surprised they don't know the patent for it though.
They must do.
They made it patent free in 1959 because it can save, they just valued it because they thought it would save more lives than profiting off it. Wow. And I thought, do you know what? Incredible. What a good thing to do.
That's well, have you seen the other? You've seen the other thing from Volvo that were in the press because the guy who has is behind their technology for the auto stop, like the car will sense a car, the car will sense a person crossing the road, and it will stop.
Yeah, ran him over.
It ran him over.
Yeah,
he was stood in front of it. He was at a press release, everything, cameras, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And he stood there. The car accelerates towards him, and he's like, "Don't worry." No, he actually had, considering that a flipping car goes straight into him, it does look painful. He doesn't quite. And then it stops once it hits him, and it's like, and it said, "Oh, he's got minor injuries considering that, but he's still been hit
by
a car."
The car wiped him out.
They said, no, it wasn't the car's fault. It was something else's fault. And they tried to divert it off. I'm like, you've just totally blown that. There's no coming back. From
but
that
yeah, now. Volvo made the seat belt as we know it. Good people.
Yeah, that is good. Mine, I'm going to keep it relevant to this week. Earlier this week, on the 14th of July, it was Bastille Day, big national holiday in France, remembering the bloody revolution. And this was all happening in 1789, 14th of July. And I thought I'd keep it French. And that is about a baguette.
Kissing. Oh, a baguette.
I've gone with baguette. Because I love a baguette. And I had a bit of a baguette dipped into like some sauce and like dips. I was at the picnic. I thought, I do love a baguette. I could eat. It doesn't matter how long the baguette is, I'll finish it.
Do you like fresh bread? The fresh bread baguette? Do you like the big ones or do you like the smaller ones that you know, like the kind of slightly thinner? It's like a harder bread. It's almost a bit sourdoughy style. It's like a ciabatta-y bread. You get this kind of, and you get them in like, they're a bit like the fan. Okay, you know how Pret do their baguette?
Yeah.
It's a bit harder on the outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to be hard.
Right, yeah. You like that one. It's a bit of a crunchy, crusty sort of one. Like, rather than
I don't like it
bread,
to be big, too doughy in the middle.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So you don't like the ones from the supermarket. You know, you get the Tiger Loaves or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You like the leaner ones.
Do you know what I actually do? I take a bit of it out. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I take the fluffy bit at the middle.
A little bit of it out because I think it's too much when you want to put something in there. It's too much.
You want the crusty casing.
Yeah.
Back to Kedge.
That's all I want. Crusty casing.
You're going to love this then, because we're all baguette lovers here. And did you know it's considered unlucky in France to place a baguette upside down? This superstition, it goes back as far as the Middle Ages, where bakers would turn a loaf over to show it was reserved for their local executioner.
So hold on. Tell you, not upside down like one thin end or the other thin end. You're talking like roll, like it's flat, like it's like a bilna on the table.
Yeah.
And you roll it so that the grooved bit, the top, the prettier bit.
You got to shove the groove.
Is rolled over.
Yeah. Okay. That's considered unlucky. And to counteract the curse, all you've got to do, if you do want to do that, is slice a little cross into the underside of the bread. There we go.
Oh, okay. There you go. I like traditions like that.
Do you know what? French sticks in France, they're so much better than the ones we go over.
Of course they are, because they don't dough it up, like you said, Sam.
Yeah,
they haven't got that dough in it.
A bit more
buttly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it is. So we like, oh yeah, let's make it bigger, let's make it massive, let's make it value for money, let's pump it full of whatever. But they just like a little baker to do it.
Speaking of something massive, and I'm sure, you know, for all of you people that are sort of, for all of you people that are in our WhatsApp group, the Brownload WhatsApp group, you would have known the news of us doing the live podcast again at the London Podcast Festival. 12th of September, it's a Friday night, 9:30 p.m. And tickets are on sale. The link and everything is all in that WhatsApp group. And do you know what? We're going to whack it out on Instagram this week as well at some point. So keep an eye out for that. But it's available. Go and get your tickets.
That will be special. Get your tickets. If you are anywhere near London, honestly, that'd be a great one. Good. Look forward to that. That's going to come around quicker than we know.
It will.
July's nearly done as well. All right, then, boys. Another podcast done. Thank you very much. Until next week. Laters.
Laters.
Laters.